what's up there, listeners of the This Week in Geek universe? I am David Double D Dennis, and this is another episode of Movie Madness, where nobody was nice enough to leave any feedback. Because you're all a-holes. No, I'm just kidding. You guys are nice, but honestly, feedback at This Week in Geek, subject line Movie Madness. If you do that, maybe your feedback can be read by one of these two people. I'm talking about my co-hosts.
And one of them is... Andrew Rander Speaks Too Soon Roebuck.
And the other one is...
Scott, version 8.
Whoa, 8. What's going on here? I gotta ask every week, what's your upgrade?
Well, it's pretty crazy that every week they're able to push out these upgrades like clockwork.
It's like Apple.
Pretty much, though, as you buy the latest one, it's like, the new one's out. But version 6 was kind of like the iPod Mini. No one really gave a shit kind of thing, in my opinion. But version 8 actually came with a pretty interesting upgrade. I now have the ability to move my joints twice as fast. They've upped my reflexes.
Oh, okay.
It's actually a practical upgrade this time.
Why did that sound weirdly sexual when you said that? I can move my joints twice as fast. I don't know. I think I just have a sick mind.
Yeah. Well, there are many joints that can be moved in a sexual manner.
Yeah, this is true, actually.
Welcome to Twig After
Dark. Yeah.
The saucy twig.
Speaking of which, we have a pretty saucy movie that we're talking about if you're 9 years old. We mentioned it last week. Really kind of an obscure movie we're doing this week, but I think we're all pretty excited to talk about it.
Palin.
Who's Nailin' Palin? No. Even if no one listens to this episode because they're like, what movie is that? We're actually talking about the Archie movie. Archie to Riverdale and back again.
A Hobbit's Tale.
Yes. A Handmaiden's Tale. No, this was a made-for-TV movie. I don't know, is that breaking our rules that we're doing something that wasn't theatrical?
No.
How does that work?
It still has movie in the title, doesn't it?
It got a home release, so I think that's alright.
That's true, yeah. I remember reading Archie comics, and there was always ads where you could order the VHS for this movie. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I didn't read Archie comics till at least like the mid-2000s.
I never ordered this movie because it looks stupid, though.
Hey, but now you wish you did.
And we're...
Boy, were you
now, wrong. Yes. Especially since the version that we watched, we had to torrent it. It was the only way to find it. Like, literally, it's the only way to find this movie. It's really hard to get. And it's not even the VHS version of it. It was actually the original TV version, just with all the commercials cut out. Although I really wish they had just left the commercials
in, too.
To be honest with you.
I used to love watching old VHSs when my parents like record Aladdin on, like, what is it, ABC's Night of Disney or whatever, and there'd be like Aladdin advertisements, or is it around Christmas time, so there's like the toys, and it's like, get Aladdin's carpet toy, and you can explore a whole new world.
From Mattel! No, yeah, the best part of this thing was at the beginning when it said, like, it went through all the credits and said produced by, written by, directed by, and then it said in stereo where available.
I laughed so hard when I saw that.
That was the big thing in 1990, if you're old enough to remember that.
I remember when YTV used to have that. It's like some cartoons
where it said
like,
in stereo. Yeah. Ooh. X-Men always said that.
Yeah, so did, like, bottom. I think Pokemon did too. I don't remember though.
And then at the end, when it was playing the end credits, it had ads for whatever shows were coming on next. So there was ads for like Working Girl and The Hogan Family. Obviously. Shows that
had not seen the light
probably,
of day.
Yeah. Best left forgotten, really. Were canceled 20 years ago. Oh man. So this was an interesting thing to go back and watch. There's even points where the tracking got screwed up. And so just in the middle of a scene, it all of a sudden was like...
I love like, that so much. It like makes seeing it feel hi-fi authentic. When like the VHS he's recording from is like hi-fi tracking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Look, we're having right, more fun talking about the nostalgia.
The VHS? But yeah, but that's part of it, I think. That yeah, was a big is. Part of our childhoods. Because I think we grew up just as VHS was starting to die.
Yeah,
so
basically.
We all grew up with VHS movies, having to remember to rewind and having the little like Disney previews at the beginning.
Be kind, rewind.
I still watch those on the DVDs.
Oh, I never do. I always skip them.
Sometimes.
Oh, I love them.
I miss that Disney preview that was like, it was like the ad to come to Disney World, and it was showing all the cool stuff at Disney World.
I remember once good. I actually
they
sent
put it
away.
At the beginning of like all their VHSs.
Yeah, Oh my god!
I remember that some. I remember that some of the VHSs, like when you'd watch like Jurassic Park or Star Wars, it's like stay tuned after
Universal?
The credits to see a special making of.
Oh yeah!
I used
because it wasn't. They couldn't have like a special feature back then. It had to. You had to wait for the credits to end
or a completely separate VHS.
Yeah, I think Batman Forever had like a whole separate like making of VHS that
Man,
came with
always
it.
Always, I hated.
I
as a
always
kid
loved
was...
And my cousin had it.
Yeah.
What I always hated as a kid though was on the 1995 release of the Star Wars trilogy. There was the interviews before every movie.
Oh yeah, with
and
George
I was a
Lucas
kid.
And Leonard
yeah,
Martin.
And I'm like, I don't want to listen to Leonard Maltin. I just want to watch fucking Ewoks. I want to see New Hope. And I'd always have to rewind. It was like 15 minutes, too.
Yeah, you had to watch it once. And then after that, I just had to fast forward it every single time. And the same thing with the special editions. When those came out, they had the little like making of where there was like, here's all the things we changed. And here's all the scenes we added. And it was cool the first time. But every time after that, you had to fast forward it. So.
Yeah, that was annoying. But also, I loved when there was like a really long movie and you got the two VHSs. I mean, I never watched much of the first part of Titanic. That first VHS got played like once.
Where was the nudity? On... What is it in the first part?
The
second
part is all the good stuff.
Yeah,
man,
exactly.
When the ship
all
is sinking and everything.
Part.
When she's naked, is that in the first VHS or the second one?
I think that's the first. Because all
yeah, that's
the
reason
second
I
is
the
everything
first.
Dies.
So in the first VHS, just cue it up to when she's naked.
34:46
You memorized it. And then the second VHS, just watch the whole thing because that's the good part. So, yeah, kids these days, man, now they have it on Blu-ray. They can just watch it all the way through. They can't, they don't know the good parts.
They don't know standard definition, seeing boobies in standard definition on late night TV as a child.
And trying to pause it just right. So
Red
can...
Shoe Diaries.
Back to the Red Shoe Diaries.
I have to because I get a great review Diaries. Out. Can we do that as a movie? Because it's on Netflix.
The Red Shoe Diaries movie?
Yeah. Ironically enough, the guy who wrote it was an erotic novelist, and he died at the age of 69. Thought that was pretty funny.
That's pretty hilarious. I mean, his death is certainly it was probably a tragedy to those who loved him, but come on.
69.
Pretty funny. 69. All right, we need to actually get into this movie, although I've loved just talking about VHS and how awesome that was. But I think it's time for our favorite feature. Do the jingle.
Jingle, jangle, jingle, do, do, do.
That's not. I was talking about Scott's plot.
Oh! I thought, I'm like, what was the song they sung at the beginning again? I couldn't remember. And I was like,
sugar,
is that what he wants you to sing?
Oh, yeah. Sugar, sugar.
Oh, honey, honey. And it was like really
you
awkwardly
You gotta do the
paced.
Rap version.
Yeah, it was just like a messed up version. And then when
oh,
they did like the
sugar,
rap version.
Sugar, yeah. Oh, no, oh, no. Oh, like
get
so
on
bad.
My dick. G-Unit with this bitch.
Oh, man.
Alrighty. Scott's plot. Okay. Scott's plot. Ooh, Scott's plot. Hey, everybody. It's Scott
there
here with Scott's plot. I don't remember the plot.
I
All right, I do.
Most of us don't remember this movie that well. Just go through, like, the basic stuff that happens. I don't know.
The whole, okay. I remember most of it, but I think mix up certain parts because a lot of it was so similar.
I know.
So it starts off with showing the town, and we're going some shots showing off this town, and then Mr. Weatherby's outside. He's like, ah, the children are coming back. Wah. We are going to put this banner up here, lady whose name I forget. Then you go to Veronica, and she calls, and they just starts introducing all the characters, and it's like, oh, Mr. Weatherby, is Archie Andrews going to be at the reunion? And then they wait, and they wait. And then I think it cut to Betty, if I remember correctly. And
yes,
then
you are. I think you're right, yeah.
Then it was showing Betty, she's a school teacher now, like we all figured she would be, because she's so kind and nurturing. And she's sending him out on vacation. And then a man comes, who looks like he has no expression or just a mask on his face the whole time, because I swear his eyes didn't shift or move. And he's just like, Betty, do we have to go to this two-bit town? This is where, it's my reunion, they're all my friends. And then I think it cut back to Veronica, in which Mr. Weatherby was like, yes, Archie Andrews is coming. Oh, my butler.
She has an orgasm.
at the mere mention of Archie's name, her panties wet.
Oh, man.
She's like, and I forget her butler's name. Can you, we get
Smithers.
The
Smithers.
Isn't it is Weatherby it really? Or something like that?
No, Weatherby's the
principal. No, Weatherby's the, yeah, it's Smithers.
Oh.
You sure it's not Jeeves or Jeepers or...
No,
Jenkies,
Jeeves or something.
But who cares? So then she's like, can we get the Concorde to fly there? But the Concorde never flies there. Must be like her personal jet or something. I don't know much of the Archie lore, if there's like some thing like the flight of the Concordes or some shit like that, but...
No, the Concorde jet was like... It only ran during like the 80s and 90s. They shut it down now, but it was like a supersonic jet that only did transatlantic flights. Like it went from Paris to New York, I think. And that was the only flight it did, but it was able to do it in like a matter of like, that's like normally like something like 6 to 8 hours or something to do that flight. But it did it in like 2 or 3 hours because it was just ridiculously fast.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
it created sonic booms. So if the Concorde actually landed in Riverdale,
Archie's eardrums would have blown.
It would shatter all the glass like at Pop's chocolate shop or whatever. They'd be like, hey, look, it's the Concorde jet.
Archie's like, all the glass blows up in his hand,
their ears would be bleeding and everything. Like, that's why it only did transatlantic flights, because if it flew over people's houses, that's what happened. Like it destroyed people's houses and
holy
stuff.
Shit. All right,
anyways, well, random facts here, going back to the plot.
Okay, well, now I know. And so they fly, whatever. Then we cut to a scene of a psychiatrist's office, where some man, who you can only assume to be Jughead, is ranting about his life and how it fucking sucks and how everything's shit. And then someone calls and they're like, sir, someone made Mr. Weatherby's on the line for a Jughead. And then you find out Jughead's the doctor. Who would have guessed, man? All those burgers are good for your brain.
You know, I didn't even get that until like 3/4 of the way through the film.
That he was the doctor?
Yeah, until he like specifically mentioned it. Because I'm like, oh, that's weird that they're calling the office with the patient.
That's what I thought at first, but then nope. And then it cuts to our hero.
I can't see Jughead as
no,
as
I can't
a doctor,
either.
But we'll get to that.
I could see him as fucking running inaccuracies. A burger joint called like Doc's Burgers or some shit like that. But then it cuts to our hero at 40 years old or whatever the old actor was at the time, Archie Andrews, and he's living with some bimbo named Pamela Henderson, in which they're moving, and she's like, Archie, everything with a green sticker we're keeping, everything with an orange sticker we're giving to Salvation Army. And all the orange sticker shit was Archie's stuff. And it was like 100 boxes. And he complained. He's like, gee willikers, my leather jacket. I love this jacket. I mean, my varsity jacket. And my belts. I love belts. And you find out, Archie's a hoarder near the end of the film because he goes to a dump and wants to keep old root beer bottles because they don't make them anymore.
That's like the hidden subplot of this movie is that Archie has a hoarding problem.
He keeps belt
and
buckles.
He likes belts. I think I'm gonna have to cut that clip, Scott, of you just saying, I like belts. And I'm gonna put that after the credits of this episode, because I don't know, that just made me laugh so hard.
Yes, please.
Oh, man.
And which her rationale is, oh yeah, Archie's a lawyer, for fuck's sakes. He's not a writer, he's a goddamn lawyer. Archie's weird mysteries must have gone nowhere. So she's like, honey, no one wears belts. All the good businessmen wear suspenders. And then he opens her blouse, looks at her tits, and like, well, I see you're not wearing suspenders. I was like, holy shit. He's like ogling her. And oh, wow. This is going to be hardcore. Ted, tell my younger sister, get out of there. Give him, throw me the box of fucking Kleenex. But then we continue, because Archie's apparently, I guess, still lives in Riverdale the whole time, and he's going to Pops, and then Reggie's a fucking dickhead still, and he goes to Pops, like, hey, Pop Tate, let's get me some burgers, and there's these two dorky kids working there who are like assholes, and then blah, 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 fucking Reggie's there, and he's like, get out of my face, and then I think that's when Archie then goes back home to find out someone had broken into his house. And he's like, what the fuck? And it's Jughead and his son. And at this part of the film, it really gets foggy in my memory of what exactly happens. Nothing exciting actually happens for this part of the film. Except twice he gets seduced. Oh, I think Veronica gets naked at this point and wants to bang Archie. And her dad threatens to kill him.
Yeah, and you find out that, like, Jughead's kid is a total douchebag, and he just keeps, like, doing all these really stupid pranks to Archie.
Oh, and he's horny for 35-year-olds. Like, he wants 35-year-old Poon. This 14-year-old is, like, going after the cougars, the young cub wanting to get into a mother's den.
Yeah, and at one point, Archie is getting spied on by the kids, and like they're on this like ladder, and Archie just pushes them off violently. He's like, "Die, children!"
Yeah. This is when Veronica's naked, like, "Fuck me, Archie! I've only fucked 14 guys before you." And they actually talk about sex a lot, and I think, and I'm pretty sure that Archie banged Betty.
Yeah, that part, I kept laughing at all of those scenes, because there's like a part where he's in a restaurant with Betty. And they're like, Archie, do you remember the night of the big storm? Oh, yeah, we got stuck together at your house. Do you remember what happened?
Yeah, we had to stay warm.
Oh,
didn't we do that?
No, we didn't do that.
He's like, you think I'd forget that? And then later she admits it when she writes an erotic story and makes Archie read it.
It's that subplot, like, this movie is so ridiculous, it's hilarious.
And the story just goes everywhere. Like, I have to keep going
The main plot that you forgot to mention is Reggie's evil plan.
I know, that's where I was going next.
Alright.
Yeah, and then we find out that Reggie is the bitch of Mr. Wow, I can't remember his name now.
Lodge,
there we go. Mr. Lodge, and he's like, wants to evict Pop so that he can extend the health club. And then it gets all Miracle on 34th Street. And Archie's like, I will be your lawyer, Pop, for free. This is a thing. This is about community spirit. Gee willikers. And then they go to the courthouse. And then Archie's going all bullshit about the community, how that's what matters, when there's all the legal documentation about how Reggie can kick Pop out, but Reggie only has like a 1% holding in the Lodge stocks. So Mr. Lodge or Veronica, I think. Veronica, no, she's to ask her dad. Mr. Lodge can either say yes or no, but he hates Archie, so. And then it really utterly fails, and then Pop just walks out all pissed off, like, fucking Archie, I should have hired a real lawyer, not just a fucking kid.
Yeah, probably.
And you think
the
that's when the movie's gonna end, because this movie, that part of the movie felt like it might have been the end point, but it's only halfway through the film, because it's like, oh, that's a big plot point. all right, he's going to get this. We're going to end the reunion. And that's the whole movie. And then the rest of the movie is really just Archie trying to figure out if he's going to bang one or the other, even though he's engaged with this woman. But he secretly still wants both them. He basically makes out with Betty in a library. Their lips touched, man. You can't tell me they didn't.
Yeah.
Then it gets all weird and fuzz. It gets weird after this part where then they have to, like, go to the carnival and they start playing hockey.
They're playing, what do you call it? Like, go-kart polo. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. There we go. That's the word.
Polo. It's like two nets and they have a bunch of balloons and they have to hit the balloons into each other's nets like as much as possible with their go-karts.
And then they like
which
beat Archie.
Is the most unsafe game I've ever seen.
Kills himself. He like he crashes a go-kart into a net and like breaks his neck basically, and everyone's so worried about him. So after Archie crashed and broke his neck, Moose and Midge came out. Midge is like she's butter everything. Jesus, I just put a bag on that whole body. Throwing a goddamn body bag. Oh.
And Moose was like, yeah, I don't know what was up with that. I mean, Midge in the comics was hot.
She was so cute, and everyone's like, she's going for Moose. Oh my god. And then Moose is like a chiropractor.
No wonder Reggie like lost all interest. Did you notice that? He used to hit on her in the comics.
Oh yeah,
all
he
the
did.
Time. But he's like, in the movies, he has no interest in her. It's like, yeah, I can see why.
Yeah, she don't look blame that bad. Me, Reggie. Yes, she did.
Yes, she did. Admit it.
No. This isn't some indie film. This is Archie. What? But yeah, so it means nothing. And then I think it just goes to the concert or something like that. I don't remember what happens next. Is that when they go to the hotel room because the people already moved into his house? After the scene?
Yeah, there's like a point where Betty and Veronica are in his house at the same time.
And Betty wants to bang Archie in the shower, so she's getting naked with a steamy shower. Then Veronica comes in, she's like, oh, Archie, you know my fantasies, don't you? And then he throws her in the hall closet of his room. And then Pamela comes, and they're like, oh,
this
let's get out of here.
This is the perfect porno setup, by the way.
I know, it really is. And then Betty started eating out Veronica, and it got really intense.
There was some scissoring.
The XXSX porn parody version of it.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But then they're like, we gotta get out of here. Oh, let's go to Pops. And Pamela, honestly, the way I find her character is she is a character who just happens to be in a comic book character's world. She's like a realistic character just thrown into a comic book. Like, she's like, what are you talking about? This place sucks. This town sucks. And she just rains on Archie's parade about everything. And then Jughead comes in with Jughead Jr. and is like, Betty and Veronica are looking for you, Arch. Okay. Oh, let's avoid them some more. And Pamela's like, oh, what's going on? Then he's going to go to the dance, was it?
Reunion,
it's like
the
concert.
Where the Archies are playing.
Type of thing. Yeah.
And she's already fed up because Betty and Veronica are like, you got to choose one of us. You got to choose one of us. One of us is going to have your babies. You got to choose. And she's like, fuck this shit. And then Betty's hot boyfriend is like, fuck this. And then he's like, oh, baby, Pamela, I'll bang you.
In the most, like, stereotypical romantic comedy move of all time.
Yeah, when they
partner up the two evil people together.
Yeah, and then they become good because they're in love.
And then Archie's like, I don't give a shit. You can leave me, woman. I don't need you. I got two bimbos looking for me. Even though the whole movie, the reason he didn't sleep with any of them is because he was engaged. Then the second she's like, I don't want anything to do with you, Archie Andrews, he's like, good, my dipstick and her fun dip. That's what Archie was like.
You trying to make that reference to fun dip and failing. It was just... Oh, man.
It's like candy, like Archie. I associate Archie 1950s and like candy and happiness.
Because of sugar, sugar,
do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh, lick my fun dip. Do-do-do-do. You are my candy girl. And you have me wanting. And then, basically...
They have the worst concert of all time. It's a half of a song. They don't even get through a
whole
song.
And they're like, we're great guys. And then Reggie joins up and it's like, aw, Reggie, come on up here. But after this, then Weatherby comes up. He's like, Pop Tate's not moving. They're going to run him over with a bulldozer.
Which is like
I don't think that's legal, guys.
I don't think so
either. I wouldn't
either.
Be too worried about it.
Yeah, and I didn't know
and
that.
And then apparently,
like,
Mr. Lodge
like
sends a bomb. A bomb to kill Archie, or whatever. He's like, his minion sends a bomb. Then it gets weird. Like, he's trying to actually murder Archie in this demonstration. Like, you gotta arrest all of us, officer. Oh, well, fuck, guess you win then. I don't got enough holding cells. And then they throw the bomb into the building of the health club, and guess what? It blows up. And then it's
I
the
love
next
how
day.
The easily the problem is solved of just Veronica shows up and is just like, Dad, don't do this thing that you've been wanting to do throughout the entire movie.
And he's like, okay. Shut up, woman. Know your place. That's basically what he says. And she's like, I don't need you, Daddy. What? Are you disrespecting me? Daddy, I don't need your shit. And then he's like, all right, won't do it. Oh, that was rather anticlimactic. In which it becomes the next day, and everyone apparently forgot that that happened. In which everyone's single, and they realize they're going to live in Riverdale together. Again.
And Reggie, for some reason, is not pressing charges. Neither is Mr. Lodge about his exploded building.
And Pop's like, Reggie's coming in, and Pop's like, come on in, Reggie, you're always welcome. Even though you tried to extort me and kill me multiple times, have a burger on me.
All is forgiven in the world of Riverdale.
So the consensus is this plot, there is no basic plot. It's only
there's even a few moments that you missed.
Oh, like when he meets Ethel and she's a fucking international model, and then basically Jughead and his son are racing to bone her in the jacuzzi.
I knew that was going to happen as soon as
I think,
mentioned
it. Oh, it was so obvious, the ugly duckling.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, Big Ethel. I'm like, oh, she's going to be skinny and beautiful. Oh, great.
Yeah.
But Dave, I probably missed things because they just
all
blended
over the
in.
Place.
The movie was all over the place.
No, I was going to say probably the best scene that you forgot to mention was when Jughead and his son are doing the rap together.
Oh, my God!
Because basically, Jughead's son, to set it up, he's a total asshole throughout the entire movie, and he's just like, I don't want to have anything to do with you, Dad, I'm not interested in you, and he's like estranged from his father. And then in the weirdest moment of character turnaround that I've ever seen, all of a sudden, Jughead's like, I'm going to play this stupid rap music. And I'm going to be cool, and I'm going to start doing this rap, and I'm just thinking, oh, man, he's going to make a fool of himself, and his son is going to think it's totally lame. But then the son joins in. He completely does a 180 and just, like, flips his personality entirely and is just like, oh, yeah, my dad's cool now because he can rap.
Sugar, sugar, yeah, honey, honey, yeah.
Word to your mother.
Oh, wait, she divorced me.
It's not even, like, I don't even think I could call it rap. It's just...
Spoken word?
Like slow-talking version of the only Archie song everyone knows.
I didn't know that was their song.
It was, actually. That was, like, a number one hit back in the day.
I thought that was actually just a song someone else wrote. Cartoon. I didn't know that was an Archie song.
It is, technically, yeah.
That's really? Awesome.
I mean, I'm sure it was a different... I don't even know who the actual members of the band were who recorded it, but it was attributed to the Archies because it was featured on their cartoon show.
Wow, I did not know that. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, so you're learning lots of random things. I'm just the spouter of information this episode.
Pretty much.
It's amazing. So... Now, Andrew, you had you texted me last night at like 2 a.m. about this movie while I was sleeping, I didn't respond because I was trying to sleep for work today.
I'm sorry.
But that's okay. But I know you have some interesting things to say about this movie, so I really want to hear your thoughts.
This movie was just, at times, like, if you've ever watched a David Lynch movie, David Lynch has these really weird qualities about his flashbacks or everything like that where he overexposes them. And whenever they were in a flashback in this film and they were talking, it felt like I'm like, whoa, David Lynch, someone's going to die soon. Or like some weird 70s horror movie type thing. And then like when they were talking, like when Betty and Archie are talking in the library after they made out, which they shouldn't have done, the dialogue was just so weirdly paced and like stinted, and the music was like right out of an episode of the David Lynch show Twin Peaks. So I was like, what is going on over here? It was like completely odd and bizarre. It was kind of like nothing I'd ever seen.
Yeah, the music in this thing is really my ultimate 90s soundtrack.
One of the best sound effects is when shit, who is it? Oh, wait, am I thinking of a... Oh, I'm thinking of a different movie. Whoopsie-daisies. Never mind.
What are you talking
about? I was
about?
Thinking about that Jackie Chan movie I was watching today.
Oh, wow.
Because there's a
on
scene...
On another episode of Movie Madness.
Because there's a scene where she throws him out a guy out of a taxi cab and it makes a cymbal crash sound.
Wow.
And I was like,
wow,
what the fuck? Bad. This is 90s. That's probably why I thought it was Archie. Wow.
Yeah, also, they turn, like, Jughead into basically, like, George McFly from Back to the Future in this movie. Did anyone else notice that? I just can't handle rejection,
yeah,
Marty.
I don't know.
That was weird.
You are my density. Oh, there was, as an Archie fan, like, just watching this movie objectively, it's just one of those movies that's just so weird and surreal that it was kind of enjoyable. But as an Archie fan, there's just things that pissed me off about this movie, and probably the biggest one was Jughead.
Like, yeah,
I can't see him as a psychiatrist. That's just, I don't know, it's a weird profession. They do the thing of him liking food, but it's sort of in the background. Like, you only see it a few times.
Like, he pulls out that sandwich. I was with my sister, and I thought he was gonna pull out a doob and be like, hey, Archie, you want to smoke up like we used to behind Pops? Is that Riverdale Green? Yeah, I brought the good stuff.
Now, I think we need to answer the one most important question whenever Archie comes out. Betty or Veronica? Go.
I'm one of the few people who would probably say Veronica, actually. Ooh. I just find her more attractive. I don't know.
Okay, Scott?
She's more... Betty's kind of boring. I don't know. She's kind of adorable.
Betty, Betty looks like she'd be the weirder one in bed, man. You look at Betty, she's got bigger breasts than
she's
movie.
Kind of got... In terms of this movie, yeah, I think Betty was hotter. She was played by Jim Carrey's ex-wife, Lauren Holly.
She was just like, let me suck your dick. I write erotic novels about me fantasizing. Fucking flush for fantasy here.
And she sounded like the Exorcist for some reason.
Yeah, but I'm sure...
You. Archie, your mother sucks dick, cocks in hell!
I'm sure Veronica has more experience, though. She had, like, 15 husbands.
Yeah, but she's all used up, man. She's like, do you want to use a nap... blow your nose with a napkin that 15 of your friends wipe their face with?
Ooh, okay. You put it like that.
See? It's like a hot... It's like, hey, it's like loose, man. It's like a flag flickering in the wind.
Okay.
I'm trying to be as obscene as I possibly can.
Oh man. The NC-17 episode of Movie Madness.
Have you guys ever had like a Betty Veronica thing where like two girls are like, we both like you?
Yes, actually. I was going to mention this. My friends Sophia and Caitlin, I will mention them in name because they'll never listen to this.
Talk about my sister.
Back when I was in grade 8. My dad's like, get out of the house and go do something social. So I used to go to these, like, club dance thingy, like, these dances that these people used to put on at this rec center. But it was, like, a nightclub kind of thing, I guess, going on. And yeah, man, it was wicked. I would go there, and I actually met a lot of my friends who I'm friends with now there. And there's these two girls I met, and I was like, hot damn, I'm going to go after these girls. And I was chatting them up, and I was dancing with them the first night, and I got their MSN, because that was cool back then, man. That's so ancient.
Yeah, I remember that.
Man, this is like 2005. or 2004, 2005 nice. Era. That's when I, this and this all happened. And I'm getting the, her MSN, and we just start chatting. And I used to talk on the phone with them all the time. And they started they were the ones who started it. They're like, wow, Scott, you're like Archie, and I'm Betty, and she's Veronica. And I was like, fuck yeah. I got the women who want me like this. I'm like, yes. And I still bring it up from time to time. Like, well, I actually picked Veronica, but I really wanted Betty. That's what happened. And if she listens to this, okay. She knows that to be true.
Sorry, you continue. Finish up. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's why I found that makeup store MAC, their new, they have like some Archie thing going on right now. And I thought it was really funny. I just took a picture of it. It's like Archie's girls. And it's like Archie's like some redhead pierced punk with these two girls. And I sent them a picture of it to reminisce on old times. But that's why we call each other. We still call each other as Archie, Betty, or Veronica. So
wow,
it's pretty good.
I've had like the experience at the end of this movie where it's two girls literally come up to me at the same time and they're like, which one of us do you choose? I'm like,
and then
oh,
Andrew
God.
Says, my right hand.
And then I ended up dating the one for like half of the summer. Then I broke up
which
with
one
her
is she?
And dated
was she,
the other
was
one
she...
right after. And the other one, the one that I just dated and broke up with before, tried to run me down with a bike. My own bike. But, you know.
Look at this. Andrew's breaking the girls' hearts.
Wow.
Well, that was the last romantic experience I've ever had, and that was in grade 7. So.
Well, this was in grade 8 and going into high school for me.
Good times. How about
you,
Dave?
I think back in those days, I was a lot closer to like a Jughead type of character. I didn't even really like, well, it wasn't that I wasn't interested in girls. It just never really worked out. So
you and I both know the record you have, Dave. From all the conversations we have, we know.
The record of just being terrible with women.
Yes. Or, which is not Dave's fault. Yeah.
Well, I'm improving.
Yes.
Over the last year, I've gotten a lot better.
Which is basically a shout out to any single women who are listening to Movie Madness. If you want be Dave's Betty and or Veronica, feedback at thisweekingeek.net.
I think if there's any women listening to this,
you've probably pissed them off already.
That's amazing. I think that's just amazing in and of itself. I mean, all our feedback has just been from guys.
Well, Dave.
So maybe they can even be my... What?
Never mind.
I was going to say maybe they can even be my Cheryl Blossom.
What?
For a really obscure Archie reference.
Okay,
was pretty obscure.
Cheryl Blossom, who's not in this movie, was like a super hot chick that was like the only girl who was hotter than both Betty and Veronica. And like whenever she showed up, Archie was like had like an insta boner, and Betty and Veronica were just like, "Oh, we're so jealous."
Did they team up to kill her?
There was one issue where they attempted murder. Good times.
Wow, that is cool. Any girls listening, make sure you send your feedback so we know that there are girls listening.
With pics.
Pics or it didn't happen.
Yeah. Pics or you're probably just a guy pretending to be a girl.
Yeah, that's
it. It is the internet after all.
Oh.
So yeah.
What else should we discuss about this film?
Probably the weirdest character that I wasn't expecting to show up is Coach Clayton.
I was like, what?
That just shows up and is just like, hey, boy, you gotta get in there and fight. And he's like pepping up Archie like before he goes in to play go-kart polo.
Oh, also,
it's really weird.
It's got to be mentioned that the guy who plays Archie in this movie is also the guy who plays the dad on Reba. And for anyone who doesn't know, I am, for no reason in particular, obsessed with the TV show Reba.
I'm obsessed with Dolly Parton.
Yeah, it's your really weird obsession.
Yeah, I've even made
it's
like
okay.
a video
Each of us...
me recreating the theme song, which I'm sure will be somewhere on the internet. Maybe even
oh
in the show
man,
post.
I got a link. I'm gonna have to link to that video on this underneath this episode post.
It is amazing.
No, yeah, that was weird, because I was watching the movie, and I was like, I've seen this guy before. I know him. Where do I know this guy? And I looked up his IMDb, and I was looking down. I was like, no, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. And then it said Brock from Reba. And I was like, oh, yeah, he was the dad on Reba. Oh, what yeah. the heck? He was like 40 when they made this. He's supposed to be like 33.
I know. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's weird.
There really wasn't any other actors that were really recognizable. I mean, some of them have IMDb pictures, but they're not really that recognizable actors. So it's weird to say that the guy who played the dad on Reba is the most recognizable actor in this movie.
Well, and Lauren Holly had some parts like back in the early 90s, but then she kind of disappeared. But I mean, most people probably just know her from Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, the girl from... Is that the girl from NCIS? Laurel Harley? Laurel?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know her from that, then.
Okay.
Because I'm the idiot who watched NCIS.
I like NCIS.
I've never seen it. But the weirdest thing that I haven't mentioned yet is that the guy who played Jughead is dead now. Which is kind of sad.
How did he die?
Holy shit! Please say from overeating.
No, he died of cancer, apparently, according to his Wikipedia, at the age of 41.
I guess those burgers weren't good for him.
No.
Bob yeah, Tate put something in the burgers.
His kid probably poisoned him.
He kept having... He took one too many free hamburgers without paying. And Bob Tate finally got revenge. Oh, man. You gotta love jokes at the expense of people who died 10 years ago.
That's pretty good.
Wait, other kinds of jokes exist? The best kinds of jokes.
Yep. I don't know. I think we've talked about everything about this weird movie.
I don't think there's much we really can talk about because this movie is so all over the place.
I think it's worth watching.
You guys haven't answered the question, though, really, of Betty or Veronica. I'm still curious.
I'm a Betty guy. Just because, you know, the old working girl type who doesn't have to buy her way into everything.
Except with sex.
And she seems like a nice girl.
And you, Scott? Well, you said in real life you picked Veronica, right?
But I wanted Betty.
Count?
Veronica was the lust. That at that age in my life, I was like, this woman, she might let me make out with her. Alrighty, I'll pick this one. But when I wanted Betty, because she was all around the more enjoyable person to spend time with. Now I really hope they don't listen to that. Because then again, I don't talk to Veronica. She's kind of a bitch now. Even though she's a model now, which is kind of funny, that she actually went the road of like kind of Veronica-y. Wow. She sucks. She broke my heart.
Okay.
She broke my heart, damn it.
Oh, sad Scott.
It's okay, Scott. Just drink some of the alcohol.
Betty
wouldn't
fix my heart. But yeah. So that's
I think
my stance.
I mean as you get older, your priorities sort of change when it comes to women, right?
It's true.
Which doesn't really happen in this movie where Archie reverts back to exactly the way he was.
He's like, I'm 33, but I have 13-year-old boy problems.
I was so annoyed that they didn't have him actually choose one. Although that is kind of makes sense that he didn't choose one, but it was still it's leaving it open for a sequel.
Yeah, but they're sort of like, choose one, and then they get distracted by something.
They're like, ooh,
let's take a picture. The end.
Yeah.
That's how the movie ends. They just get distracted, and then it's over.
So we should just go into what our final thoughts are on this film because we've really exhausted everything else.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Okay, Scott, your final thoughts.
So my final thoughts on the overall film, it was enjoyable to watch. I'll give it that. It was so, again, like Andrew's saying, weird that sitting through it was more enjoyable than sitting through Movie Madness, the film, not the podcast. I listen to the podcast 6 times a week.
Nice.
But story-wise and plot-wise, I guess it kind of almost felt like an Archie comic because an Archie comic has so many tiny subplots. It doesn't really have a big overall plot usually. So that was, I looking at that aspect, I just thought of that now. I kind of appreciate it a bit more. But, you should probably watch this film with friends, maybe have something to drink, and just show your friends, because they won't believe this film exists. I don't think they would.
Okay.
That's all I have to say. Yeah.
All right, Andrew?
I would definitely recommend watching this film, if not just for the curiosity and the weirdness to see what exactly ended up being the final feature film that somehow exists. Even though, it works even if you don't know that much about Archie, because it's got like the two, Betty and Veronica, and if you know anything about Archie, you know that it's basically like a love triangle comic. And honestly, I hadn't had much familiarity with Archie at all, so it still worked for me, even though I didn't really know much about it. It's a weird, weird movie, and the end, it does kind of succumb to a bunch of, like, cliches of that thing, like the two people who get the two evil people hooking up, and then, oh no, the large Marge, or whatever, Big Ethel, or whatever her name is, isn't big, she's hot, and it ends up, like, just going into cliches at the end, but up until that, it was just weird and interesting, I would say. Not good, but enjoyable to watch.
Yes.
Yeah, I would. My final thought is watch this movie for the part where Archie pushes a kid out of a window. Because it's the most mean-spirited, horrible thing you will ever see in a PG movie like this. And it's
while he's
hilarious.
Getting off. And all the sexual innuendos for a PG-rated television film.
I laughed so hard at that part because it was just so awful and mean. So, just for that, watch this movie, honestly. You'll see that part, and you'll know what I'm talking about, and you'll laugh.
Lol, lol, lol.
So, that about wraps it up for this episode. Now, a teaser for next episode, we're going to be doing our, as long as you guys agree to it, which you have to, because this is my show, and it's a dictatorship. No, I'm just kidding.
Sieg Heil.
It's not a democracy anymore. It's like Walking Dead. No,
a dictatorship.
Yeah, the Rictatorship of movie madness. No, we're going to do our first ever new movie in the form of Oz, the Great and Powerful, which I'm hoping to see at some point this week.
Me too.
Possibly tomorrow.
Yeah.
I hope so. I'll probably see it Thursday.
So definitely look forward to that. We're going to tell you what we thought of the movie, if we liked it, if we didn't. And make sure once again to send us your feedback to feedback@thisweekingeek.net, subject line movie madness, or send us a voicemail at 817-717-7202. And that wraps it up for this archerific episode. We'll catch you later.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh God.
What's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
I love belts.